study of the book of Galatians. So this is week 3, and we have been looking at the gospel of freedom. So Paul's reason for writing this gospel to the Galatian churches, everybody say churches, plural, right? This is the region. He's writing that to that whole region, and they're going to pass this letter around. It's not like he's just writing a letter to one church or one location or one family. This letter's going to go to all these areas that he visited on, he went to on a missionary journey, and believers, people believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now he's discipling them, and he's heard rumors that the gospel that he proclaimed, there were people coming and sharing what he calls a different gospel. And even in the letter, he says, there isn't one, but I'm calling it a different one. And so this gospel Paul is defending. What is that gospel? So it depends on what stream you were taught in, what the gospel is. Could be a gospel where you better do better. Jesus loves you, and Jesus protected you from God and the God the Father. Father, he's mad at you, but Jesus loves you, and he protects you. And you better do better. Or a gospel like, hey, Jesus, come to the altar, like the Billy Graham Crusades, just as I am. And that song singing, you come down to the altar, and you're saved by grace through faith. That's the gospel. And then you better do good to maintain your salvation. Okay, so a lot of gospel. Maybe you grew up in the Catholic tradition where it's a mix of appears to be a faith, mix of faith and works. Anyway, what is this gospel? That is what we're trying to find out as we look into this book of Galatians and look at different letters that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and to the churches at Colossae. And we're seeing, like last week, that Paul preached a gospel of in Christ. So the gospel is important. But ultimately, what was the trajectory, did I say that right? Trajectory of Paul's letter. What direction was it going to, this gospel that Paul was defending? Was he telling them, listen, there are people who came in and they were giving you greasy grace, so I want you to know that you just can't live your life however you want. I want you to live holy lives, and I want you to double down on your prayer life and double down on your fasting. Is that what he was doing? Was that the trajectory of Galatians? No. So the gospel, the Judaizers that came in, that was their trajectory. Paul came in with a gospel of grace in Christ before the world began, the Trinitarian love story, that God is reconciling all things to himself, and that God has given it to you freely by his choosing, his grace, his love, his power, his spirit, his call, his salvation, his justification, his sanctification, his glorification, him placing us in the heavenlies, seated where? In Christ. Okay, so Paul's trajectory is, have you begun in the spirit that now you think you're going to be progress by works? Right? And then he says these words. Have you received Christ in vain? Now, if you listen to the Western gospel, or you hear it with the gospel with Western ears, well, then why did Jesus have to die if people can just receive it by grace and it's all God? Why would Paul write in his letters, shall we just go on sinning then? If the issue wasn't that Paul freed them up. Understand what I'm trying to say there? Let me say it again. Why would Paul say he's preempting a question after he shares the gospel with him and he says, he's preempting a question that he thinks he's going to get from people. Well, Paul, if your gospel is this gospel of grace and that God has chosen us and that God is reconciling all things to himself in Christ, then why don't we just, everybody just go sin and do whatever they want? So the question that Paul preempts gives us an insight into that the gospel that he preached is gospel in Christ. It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. It's not our repentance that leads God to kindness. So we sang it today. We sing it all the time. You just have to have eyes to see it. When we sang worthy of it all, we sang he's worthy of it all. From you are all things. Do you remember? I'm going to do this real quick because I had this on the board last week. If you weren't here, three dashed circles, that represents the Trinity. And the reason why they're dashed circles is because God cannot be limited into any boundary, into any idol that we make. He is, all things were created by him for him. He is transcendent over all. So I'm not trying to put him in a box. I'm just saying that there he is. So for by Jesus in the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God and the Word was God and all things were created by him and for him. Yes? So everything that was created, I'm going to put a C in there, everything created is in the womb of the Trinity. Colossians, I just want us to grasp the magnitude of this. No one can see God, but the Son is exactly God, who is God, for he rules over everything that has been made. This is everything that has been made. This is the universes of the universes. There's our solar system. Inside that dot is the earth or our galaxy. And then inside that dot is the earth. And inside that little dot is humanity. Inside that dot is you. He rules over everything that has been made. This is Colossians 1:15. What does he rule over? Everything that's inside here. So he rules over nations. Is there a nation that God does not rule? That's outside of his rule? No. Is the election outside of his rule? Are people who stick their finger up at heaven outside of his rule? No. Is Satan outside of his rule? No. Then stop living like he isn't. Is hell outside of his rule? Is the big H in there? Like somehow Satan, that's his, well, the scripture says he's the prince of power of the air, right? No, all things. Jesus said after he rose from the dead, he said, all authority where? In heaven and on earth, it's been given unto me. So everything was made through him, and for him, we sang this. We sing songs like this all the time. For from you are all things and what? To you are all things. So what is going to go to him? All things. Right? So in Colossians it says, for he is reconciling all things in heaven and on earth unto himself. Then Paul says in Corinthians, he says, for one, when the time finally comes, when nobody knows when that is, when all things have been subject to the Son is going to give them to the Father, and God will be all in all. And what will that include? All things. But we sing it. For from him are all things, and to you are all things. All things were created by him, and for him, and by him all things exist. So I believe Paul is fighting for this gospel. He's fighting for this gospel of in Christ. Nothing is outside of it. This is the mystery of the ages, he calls it. Okay? So, big difference. We started last week, and hopefully I can close that down this week, and then when we do this again in a little bit, I think it's 3 weeks from now, we'll go to chapters 3 and 4, where the gospel's a new creation of multi-ethnic community. Big difference between God choosing one nation and God choosing all the nations. Right? So again, it's the lens we look through. God calls Abraham, love the adult Bible study this morning, teacher. God calls Abraham and he says, look at the sand, look at the stars. He says, that'll be your descendants. And God doesn't choose Israel as a nation apart from, separate from the nations of the world. He calls them to the nations. You are to be a light to what? The nations. I'm going to use you as an example, a prototype, a pattern of what I am doing in all the nations. And Abram, I'm changing your name from Abram to Abraham because you're going to be a father of nations. So when God calls Israel, the plan ultimately is he's calling all the nations. And there will be no Jew, there will be no Gentile, no male, no female, no slave, no free. Okay? But Paul is preaching this gospel because it's been revealed to him. 5 and 6 will be the difference between flesh and spirit, works and grace. Okay, today, this gospel of Christ in you. So important. Big paradigm shift of between in and to. Okay? If I say to you, hey, there's a virus going around. It's really bad. It's called COVID-20. That's the next number, right? It's COVID-20. And so you have to do these things to protect yourself because COVID-20 is out there. I'm just bringing that information to you. Okay. Big difference if I say to you, oh, hey, by the way, you're all infected with COVID-20. It's already in you. You have the virus. Do you see the difference? That's the message Paul's preaching. He's not saying, I want to bring Jesus to everybody. He's saying, I'm telling you all, you have the virus. I'm telling you that from the beginning of time, and we looked at that in Titus last week, we looked at that in Timothy last week, we looked at that in Ephesians, that God chose us before the world began in Christ. And that the first Adam was just a pattern of the ultimate last Adam. And so that's the difference between in Christ and to Christ. Now, how does Paul know that? How does Paul know that revelation? This big difference between in and to. How does he know that? He shares with us how he knows that. He was on the road to Damascus. And what happened to him? He had an encounter, didn't he? And who was the encounter with? Jesus. And Jesus said to him, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus so associates himself with being in his people that he says, you're persecuting me. Other evidence of that, not just if you want to say that in Jesus is the church, I'm saying in Jesus is the humanity, because when Jesus says when you've done it to the least of these, when I was in prison, you did what? You visited me. When I was sick, you prayed for me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Why? Because Jesus knows he's the head. He's the head of the whole body of humanity. Right? So Paul is having an encounter with Jesus, and he says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He says, who are you? And he says, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. Okay, so now he's giving us the account of that in Galatians. He said, you have heard my previous way in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God who set me apart from my mother's womb, it's so important. Okay, if you are a justice person, if you see God, you, like for instance, when people hear that God saves all and that God is reconciling all, it's like, what about God's holiness? What about God's justice? I say the same thing. So if Paul says that God set him apart from before he was born and called him See what I'm trying to say? Is that God chose Paul before he had done right or wrong, before Paul made any decisions for or against God. He chose him. If God is a God who does not show partiality, if he does it for one and there's one person that's lost, that's unjust to me. Because he showed himself to this guy named Saul. He showed himself to a Jeremiah who was called to be a prophet before he was born. He called Abraham just out of the blue. He called Noah out of the blue. He's choosing. Why is he showing us all these examples of choosing? Because he chose Christ. He chose us in Christ. That's the election. That's all of us. That should fill our hearts with peace that passes all understanding. He called me by his grace, and when he was pleased to reveal his son, where? In me, not to me, in me. He just came and flicked the lights on. So that I might preach him, and the word is among. That is the one that I'm going to key on today. Among. Because just like there's a big difference if I tell you there's a virus going around, then I give that information to you, versus if I say you have a virus in you, there is a big difference between us thinking that Paul is preaching the gospel among the Gentiles versus Paul going to them and saying, I'm preaching Christ in you. Big difference. Why is he doing that? Because that's the exact way it happened to him. That's how he got the revelation. That's how it happened to him. And that's how he's sharing it with the Gentiles. And so my immediate response was not to consult any human being. All right, so I went in response to the revelation, a meeting privately with those who are esteemed, that I presented to them the gospel that I preach. Is it among or is it in the Gentiles? Is Paul going to the Gentiles and say, hey, I'm bringing you Jesus and I'm bringing him to you, and I just want to let you know the gospel is you can bring him into your life and into your consciousness, and you can receive him into your spirit if you do this? Or is he saying, Christ is already in you, repent of your wrong thinking, repent that you're separated, and recognize that you are in Christ, and that trust will begin to ignite the reality of his presence in you? It's a big difference. So let me show you other scriptures that the word in is in, so you can see the difference between how some of the translators translated it as among. It's the same word. And I shared with you last week how you can go lexicon, just go into your phone or your computer and do lexicon and the verse you want to look up, and it will give you, if you go to Bible Hub, it'll give you the words for every verse, every word in that verse, and also you can look up where else it is in scripture. So here's other places that word in, E-N in the Greek, is in scripture. So is it going to be among or is it going to be in? Here it is. Okay. Matthew 1:18. You tell me, is this among or in? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, he was found with child. That's the same word, with. Okay? Among doesn't work there, does it? Can you imagine? She was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found among child of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't work. Okay? So the translators put was found with child. It's the exact same word, E-N, as the word where Paul said, I preach. The translators put among the Gentiles. It's in the Gentiles. I preach Christ in the Gentiles. Where is that child? The child is in Mary. It's not among her. It's not told to her, it's in her. The Holy Ghost miraculously birthed this child inside her womb. Just like God miraculously births all of creation and the cosmos in the womb of his character, all right? So there's one example of this word being in as opposed to to or among. Here's another one. Romans 1, 18 and 19. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest among, same word, en, among them, manifest to them. No, it's manifest in us, for God has showed it to us. Again, eternity is in the heart of man. We have a conscience. We know the reality of these truths. And we have a knower inside us that is even greater than the mind. It's an intuition. And we have this in us. What has God made known to us? Righteousness. It's in us. Same word. Okay. Last one. Romans 5:5. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad among our hearts. Doesn't work. For the love of God is shed to our hearts. Doesn't work. For the love of God is shed abroad where? In our spirits. Right? The Spirit testifies with your spirit that you are a child of God. It's in you. It's in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which has been given to us. And so this reality of in. So now again, let's go back to Galatians 1:15. This is the gospel. This is why it's so important. This is the gospel that Paul is defending. This is the gospel that Paul is telling them, that if anyone comes to you with another gospel, let him be accursed, because it's not another gospel. He said, I don't care if an angel, a spirit, a prophet, anybody else comes to you with a gospel that's different than mine, there isn't one. So what's the gospel, Paul? God chose us in Christ, just like Paul's telling us he was chosen. From before, we looked last week, before the ages began, before I was in my mama's womb. And he called me, just like we looked last week. He called. In Ephesians 1, it says, for before the foundations of the world, he called us to be his children. He was called, and how are we called? By his what? Grace. It's for by grace we have been saved. There's no boasting. And where? To reveal his son in me. So Paul is preaching a gospel of in Christ. This is the beauty of the gospel. The gospel is a proclamation. The gospel, I'm scared to say this in one sense, because it is an invitation. It's an invitation to participate. It's an invitation to walk in love. But the gospel is a proclamation, not an invitation. It's a proclamation of what God has done, is doing, and will do. It is God promised that life to us before the ages began, and God does not lie, and God is Savior and commanded it that at the right time God would let the world know about that life. Okay, in the fullness of time. All right, so again, how do we know this? How do we know this? So if you're struggling with humanity being in Christ, and you want the chosen people to be the Jews, that was a while ago. Or you want the chosen people to be those who believe, I understand, because the scriptures look like that. Okay? But here's what I want you to see. What Paul's writing, this gospel, what's the difference between being in Adam and in Christ? Okay? When Adam was formed, God said, I give you authority over the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the swarming animals in the ocean. He says, go and subdue the earth. Take this wonderful relationship you have with me and take it to the rest of the world. Eden was a boundaried area, and take this. And so how are they going to expand that? They're going to expand that by Adam and Eve having kids. And those kids are going to become nations, and those nations are going to be filled with people. Okay? Okay, but we read the story of Adam, and Adam was told you can eat from all the trees in the garden except one in the middle of the garden. But if you eat from that tree, the day you eat from that tree, you will surely die. When Adam ate from the tree, and because of one man's disobedience, sin entered the world, death entered the world through sin, and death came to how many men? How many? I know you believe that. I know you believe that. What did humanity do to receive that death? What did you do, Eddie, to receive that death? Nothing. You were just fortunate enough to be born. You were just fortunate enough to be part of the human race. How about you, Cody? What were your parents like? Terrible? She said pretty terrible. Right? And so were you, when you were born, right? And what did you do to receive Adam's death sentence? Nothing. How do you feel about that? Pretty terrible. How about if when your dad robbed a bank and then as soon as you were born, they threw you in jail? It wouldn't be fair, right? But we're all right with this. Why are we all right with this? Why are we all right with everybody in Adam? It's because that's what the Bible says. That's what we've been taught. Why are we all right? It's true, but why are we all right with it? Why don't we jump all over that with ease? Why don't we say, I didn't know the guy? So the issue is Adam was the federated head of humanity. He represented humanity because all of humanity was in him. Therefore, whatever happens to Adam happens to humanity. We're going to see the scripture in this, okay? It's like when the light bulb goes off, it just transfer it right to Jesus. Transfer it to the second Adam. Transfer it to the second Adam. If we accept the death sentence from our father Adam, why don't we accept our life sentence from the second Adam? And what did you have to do to be in the first Adam? Now what do you have to do to be in the second? That's where we struggle. Right? Belief matters, but belief doesn't change the objective reality that you are in the second Adam. What it does is when you start to believe and you start to repent and the lights go on, you subjectively, you as an individual begin to have this experience where you are now alive or awakened to the reality. That's why Paul says, wake up, sleeper. He's like, you're awakened to the reality of what was from the beginning of the ages. John says this. John says, I write to you children who know your sins are forgiven you. He's talking about progressive growth. He says, and I write to you young men who are strong in the word. And you fight against the enemy. And then he says, and I write to you fathers. Does anybody know what he said? Who knows him who is from the beginning. Ooh, that's goosebumpy. Did you hear it? The children know their sins are forgiven. The young men, they're fighting the devil and they're strong in the word. And they're, let's go it, let's take that hill. And the fathers know him who is from the beginning. And then he says it again. He says to the children, he says to the young men, and he always says the same thing to the father, who've known him from the beginning. Who is him who is from the beginning? The Christ, the second Adam, the last Adam, the one who was before the foundations of the world, who we were in the womb of God in his love before there was anything. And then Paul says, what can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? And the answer is nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And when we start to live life from that reality, you just come alive. You come alive. In Christ, Adam, in Christ, there's the scripture. If you're going to share the gospel with somebody, or you're going to just have relationship with somebody about, let's go back, in Adam, okay? And here's the question. When you meet a human being and you don't know anything about them, what do you know about them before you heard any of this? What did you know about them that they were in Adam? I don't care who they are. They're sinners. Sinners. We were all sinners, right? We received the death sentence from Adam. We knew that. We didn't have to tell them that. We didn't have to proclaim that to them. It was a reality. It was an objective reality. I didn't have to bring it to them. It was already in them. So, Scripture says, and we know that because Scripture says, for by one man's sin, sin entered the world, and all men died. That is reality of humanity's plight with the first Adam. He's the federated head, so all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. So the next question would be, so do you bring something to people for the finished work of Christ to be a reality? Or is the second Adam a reality like the first Adam was? That's what Paul's preaching. That's what he's saying happened to him, that Christ is in me. Go through his letters. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. This is what he's preaching. In Christ. So let's look at that. Let's look at that. Romans 5. Look at these beautiful words about being in Christ and, excuse me, in Adam, but God had us from before the foundation of the world. He was just a pattern of who was to come. He was Abraham's offspring, not offsprings, but offspring. All right. He's the true Israel. He's the one humanity. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, who's that one man? Death through sin. And so also death was passed on to who? All men, because all sinned. When did that happen? It happened when Adam sinned. It didn't happen when you were born. It didn't happen when you, after you came to the age of accountability. And it didn't happen in terrible twos when you started to go, eh. That's what Isaiah does now. Number three grandson, three for me, 42 for you, Jay and Timmy. It's just three for me. I'm a rookie. I'm still green. All right, but it's so interesting to watch his transition over the last, what, 2 months, month? Last month, he's like, oh, he's eating some. He's like, you want some? Now it's like, hey, can I have a jam? That little sinner. Okay, so all he's one and a half, if you don't know Isaiah. If he was 20, all right. So, death passed to all men because all sinned, and all the evangelicals said, amen. For sin was in the world before the law. How did we know? I mean, that what? Because the law told us before the law was given, but sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam till the law was given Moses, even after those who did not sin. Doesn't sound fair. In the way that Adam transgressed, because now this is beautiful. Look at those four words. He is a pattern. He's a prototype. He's a type. He's symbolic. He's showing us something of the one, capital O, that is to come. Again, now he's going to shift gears, and he's saying, okay, everybody's on the same page with Adam. We all sinned. Death came to all men because all sinned. Again, the gift is not like the result. Paul is about to ramp up the gospel. He's about to give you even better news. The gift is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment that followed one sin brought condemnation, but the gift that followed many trespasses were brought justification. So he's saying the gift one-ups the sin. It's the how much more Paul likes to use, right? For If by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive an abundance of grace, who has received the abundance of grace? Everybody that's in Christ, same as those who were in Adam, and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus the Christ. So then, just as one trespass brought condemnation for all men, so also one act of righteousness brought justification and life for. Now let your brain fight over that. But I say, listen to your inner man. Listen to the gospel. Repent of what your brain is telling you. Father, thank you for this wonderful discussion on who you are. Who are you, God? What is justice? Teach us, Father. What is holiness? Teach us, Father. What is love? What is redemption? What have you accomplished? We thank you for you revealing it to us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen.